Blog Talk Radio.
On Blog
Talk.
Oh, here we go. Now I do.
Okay.
All set.
Let's start.
I just changed my configuration. Like, I have the new mic arm. I want to know if I'm here. Can you hear me good?
Yeah. Yeah. Sound good.
This is way better.
It does sound better.
It is better, yeah.
So I should lean in.
Well, move it up.
It's as far as it goes. I can move it up, but I can't move it closer to my mouth.
Okay. All right. Let's just start.
I'll click on Davis.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Matt Penfield is calling into the show tonight. This is very exciting. Finally, Noah won't be the only bald radio personality on the show. Down there. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
Chuck going a little blue. Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. It's a very special livecast. We're glad you are with us. And I'm here. My name is Rob. Here with Noah, Sid, and 3D. We're here every Tuesday. We're out a little late, but to make up for it, we have a very special guest. Let's bring him on. We have a legend in the biz. He's getting situated, and we'll have him on in a sec. And we're very excited to have Matt Penfield on with us. Matt, can you hear us?
Yeah. How are you doing, guys? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I hear
yes.
You.
Thank
you so much for taking the time to talk to us here at the Metal Injection Livecast. I'm Rob. Here's Noah, Sid, and 3D. I mean, you could see their names.
Yeah.
The technology how you guys doing? Great to see you all. How's everybody, guys?
Things are great. You know, we're all alive. We're not sick. Can't complain about that.
Yeah, you know, did you guys get your shots already and all that stuff? Or
yes. Some of us are vaccinated. Some of us have antibodies. And some of us are doing extreme social distancing.
Yeah. Everybody's got their own thing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know? Because I'm traveling, you know, I decided that I would try to get it as soon as possible, which I did, which was a good thing. But it was crazy. When I went to get my second shot, they're like, we ran out of them today. I'm like, are you kidding me?
What?
I came all the way down to East L.A. Like, it was pretty great. But eventually, you know, I got it, and I'm going to feel good now. I just literally came from a shoot. But it's great to see you guys. Obviously, you're all big metal fans, which I love.
Yes, and I personally want to thank you for all the exposure over the years. I've been a follower for many years back in the MTV days, and especially I want to give a shout-out to your old Saturday night K-Rock show here in New York City, because that used to be the only place on FM radio other than college radio that would actually play metal bands. Like, I would hear early Lamb of God and like the early metalcore bands. That's the only K-Rock airplay, like mainstream radio rock airplay that they had. And with such a, like, how do you keep up with music? Do you still try to discover new bands? Are you still?
Oh yeah. All the time. I mean, for me, it's important to do that. I mean, I obviously a lot of it is done through streaming now, you know, and I do a show in Los Angeles called New and Approved, which is like, it's like a hard rock show. And there's some metal played, of course, as well on KLOS, which is like, you know, been, it's a station that's been there for years. Right. And it's got a lot of classic rock, but it also plays new rock and hard rock and stuff as well. So I started doing a show there 18 weeks ago. You know, because I've had this syndicated show for 10 years called Flashback, right, which is a classic rock history show that's on about 100 FM stations, right, in the U.S., which is crazy. It's been I took it over 10 years ago when I stopped doing a morning show in New York City, right, at that station RXP. And remember, I was on K-Rock for, I guess, like 12 years or something like that, you know, in the Howard years, obviously, when it was still cool.
Yeah.
You know, I just love rock. I mean, for me, rock is where it's at. I mean, it's really funny because what they call alternative music now is just like top 40 pop. I mean,
yeah,
playing Justin Bieber and the Kid Laroi on alternative. I'm like, what's alternative about that?
Is that like, Imagine Dragons is what kind of blows my mind. Like, yeah. How does this fit with like Pearl Jam? You know, like they'll play the older stuff. But it's interesting. Like you are indiscriminate about platforms. You will do. You've done video work. I mean, you do the radio, and now you're doing podcasting. And I feel like from the radio world, there's a little apprehension about podcasting. Like we mentioned, Howard Stern, he always seems to not podcasting. And I want to mention your new podcast, Missed Riffs. It premieres this Friday. The trailer is on all podcast platforms. And how did you decide to get into the podcasting space?
You know, it's weird. I'll tell you guys the truth. I was doing podcasting stuff before podcasting really took off. You know, like I did a thing with MTV. The really interesting thing was I was always somehow involved with MTV a little bit, like on and off. Like they relaunched 120 Minutes for 1 year, but they were just dipping their toe in it. Like they weren't really committed to music. You know, if a Martin rerun on MTV2 got an extra 0.000 in the rating, they go, well, let's push 120 Minutes back to like 4 a.m. You know what I mean? So it was like, it was like a noble idea for them to relaunch it. But of course, I mean, it just, you know, there was no real commitment there. So I did a thing called the Hivecast there for a little while. And then I had a syndicated radio show through Cumulus Westwood One called 2 Hours with Matt Pinfield. And there was a podcast component, which was basically just my unedited, uncut interviews with like, you know, Chino from the Deftones talking literally really getting deep about, you know, the Chi's death or, you know, I mean, and what's crazy is they never paid to keep those things alive on the platform. So many of those interviews are lost, but there were so many cool ones like Maynard from Tool. I mean, they were just everybody did the show. But this is something completely different for me. And I was really excited to do it because, you know, it started out where some of the people that were involved at Audio Up were like, you know, we were talking about what would be a cool thing to do. And at first they were saying, well, maybe we'll do a podcast about bands that should have been huge but weren't. And then that turned into, well, why don't we do a podcast about bands that don't exist and artists that don't exist? And, you know, because I always loved Spinal Tap, of course, and the Ruddles and, you know, there's things like the Lonely Island. There's been so many fictitious bands in movies. But the idea was to take something that was like a cross between Behind the Music. So it's got, you know, serious dialogue, but the stories are really ridiculous. I mean, they're really, you know, there's no genre is safe with Mistress. It's really cool. And these are short, you know, like I think they clock in somewhere around, you know, anywhere between, you know, 7 and 9 minutes. They're really short episodes. But there's a real song that's associated with each one of them. And the guys at Audio Up are so cool. You know, I love working with them. The guy, Jingle Jared, who, you know, they've been doing all these other things like Halloween in Hell. They did with Tommy Lee and Machine Gun Kelly and 24K Golden. They have this other thing called Uncle Drunk, which has everybody from Gary Busey in it to like, you know, it's just crazy cross-section of people. So I got together with them and we decided, well, why don't we just have fun making a podcast about just making fun of every single genre, you know? So, you know, you'll see the first three. There's one, it's got a guy called McElbarrel, and he has a song called Cancel Culture. Because, you know, cancel culture is annoying the shit out of everyone. I mean, you know, it's like I'm so over cancel culture. Like people aren't allowed to breathe sideways or they want to cancel them. So
are you saying you'd like to cancel culture?
Yes, very much so.
On record?
Yeah, I'll go on record to say that. I like to cancel culture. So there's three episodes that are going to debut Friday, and Spotify will be the first platform for it, but then it'll be available everywhere else as well. And so there's another great song called Honky Tonk Wop, which is if you take country with the special, you know, things that are happening right now with like Megan Thee Stallion. So. And I mean, and then there's another one. There's a band called the Hummus Sapiens, and they are a jam band, a cross between Fish and Dave Matthews Band. And when you hear these songs that go along with the stories, this stuff is really crazy and it's really fun, you know? So it's obviously all comedy and it's parody. And I thought it would be something kind of different for me to step into.
What's your part in it, though? There's a trailer that's available online right now, and also on YouTube there's a cartoon. And even though you say it's fun, it seems like there's a lot of production involved. involved.
Yeah.
What's your
part? So my part is helping out with the ideas. You know what I mean? I mean, I help out with the ideas, and I'm like basically, you know, the voice of the podcast, right? So, I mean, especially the ideas that I've always been a guy, as you know, who loves music so much and loves to expose music. And that's always been my thing, even when I was a kid. The thing that, speaking of metal, you know, it always used to irritate me when I was a kid that you couldn't hear Judas Priest or Sabbath and other stuff on the air when I was a kid growing up, or UFO, or I'm just naming bands. I'm just like riffing right now. But, you know, so I got into radio because I was like, why am I not hearing these bands on the radio? Guys, I'm so sorry. Here we go. I apologize. I don't know why it's hooked up to my laptop, but my phone just jumped. But you know, Linda, I'm doing an interview right now. I'm actually on the air live, and I'll call you back. Okay. Say everybody says hi. Okay.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, yes, Linda. That's Linda.
Linda.
So anyway, hey, so guys,
it's all right.
So that's what it is. It's like there's a group of guys. We get together. There's musicians. There's vocalists. And the idea was just to have a fun, like making fun. I mean, in a way, we're making fun of ourselves because it's, you know, music is a you know, something we love in a big way. Obviously, it's the most important thing in my life, but it's also, you don't want to be so precious about it either. And there are so many ridiculous artists out there and genres, and there's one that's coming out soon, Susie Roll Face Tat. He has a song called No Regrets because he has 365 misspelled tattoos on his body. You know, he's like one of the SoundCloud tattoo rappers. And so we got one of his songs coming. That's going to be out the week after. But I'm really proud of what we've done with it. And, you know, there's going to be about 52 of them in a year. I mean,
wow.
It's crazy. So we've already, recorded, I think, about 25. And the crew, the guys that are involved in this, Zach and Jared and all the people that are involved from Audio Up are just incredibly funny and talented guys. And the thing is, they're real musicians and real writers. Like, so, and, you know, Jared, who actually writes this, has a big hit right now out with Machine Gun Kelly. So it's like, it's really, but there, you know, and one guy is really like into Americana who writes his stuff here, but actually, you know, writes, I mean, it's just a really interesting concept. So it's fun. The idea is to have fun, you know, like, the podcast is about making fun of popular culture and popular music. And, you know, it's called Misriffs because they're like no hit wonders. It's like the guys that got this close to touching the ring, but like, of course, fell down on the ground. And it's always the story of how they effed everything up. You know what I mean? It's great stuff.
So it's like Anvil, but fake.
Yeah, it's like Anvil. But yeah, in fact, speaking of which, it was so funny. I was with Sasha, who directed Anvil. We had a viewing of the Anvil movie literally for the anniversary last week at his house.
Oh, wow.
Who directed the Anvil movie, you know what I mean? And my friend Rick Krim, who was involved in it, so, which is such a great film, you know what I mean? I love that movie.
They did a great job with it, absolutely.
Sasha just is such a cool guy. He's doing a movie now on Boy George. And he did the one Dinner with Hervé that was on through HBO, and he's done a bunch of cool stuff. But I love the thing about this is, and there's a you know, like a late 90s, early 2000s, a rap rock band called Moshpocalypse on here too, which is a bunch of guys that like love to work out and, you know, and eat protein shakes. I mean, there's like all kinds of cool. It'll be fun. I think you guys will enjoy it, you know. And,
yeah, it sounds like you're kind of lampooning various tropes that, you know, like that sounds like akin to like a Five Finger Death Punch type band. So you kind of.
Yeah. So, and they're my friends. I love them. You know what I mean? So like, I mean, I really do. I love Ivan and, you know, those guys are great. I mean, you know, Jason left the band. I know he's no longer in the band, but I still think they're a great band. And I know that Ivan almost like injured himself trying to carry me on his back one night right before he went on stage. It was not maybe the best idea. I was about 40 pounds heavier then. So it's crazy. I don't know if you know, I mean, I've lost so much weight, you know, and I just got in better shape and I got sober.
You're celebrating your awesome. 1 year.
That's incredible. Congratulations on that.
Thank you, guys.
I was wondering what kind of reflections did you have on your 1 year anniversary?
You know, I mean, I there were a lot of things to think about. You know, I got to say that obviously, you know, I've had just an incredible amount of people that really came, to my aid. I mean, the story was, obviously in Rolling Stone and, Variety, and it was all over the place. My friends got together and started a GoFundMe, which, of course, when I had relapsed during the pandemic, I was in a situation where I was living by myself at the time. I had broken up with the girlfriend I was with probably a good year before that. And all of a sudden that came up, and I was so used to like going to recovery meetings and always going to shows. I was always out at a rock show, no matter what. I was probably at a rock show 4 or 5 times a week. You know what I mean? So, and just doing things with people or hanging out with comedians that are, that are friends that are also sober. So all of a sudden when you had that isolation, that cutoff, it's really difficult for people in recovery. And I was doing like a streaming show called In a Lonely Place, which we were doing for Music Cares for my living room. Mm-hmm. And eventually one day I just decided to go pick up a bottle of vodka from across the street. I just got a case of what they call the fuckets. I was like, whatever, pissed off. And I got a case of the fuckets. And eventually my friends were like, you don't sound too good. You know what I mean? When they're talking to me on the phone. Do you remember talking to me last night for like a half an hour about like whatever? And I'm like, oh, wow. So my friends said, well, let's get some help for you. And they kind of rallied together. So I was on my way up to go to treatment in the San Francisco area. Halfway up, my great friend, Chris Rivera, who had put like a lot of it together with a bunch of other musicians. And they basically said, so how are you guys, who do I have to pay back? He goes, oh, we're doing a GoFundMe. I'm like, what? You can't do a GoFundMe. I was like horrified. I'm like, you can't ask people for money during a pandemic to help me out. He said, no, we're going to do that. I go, well, what are you doing in the meantime? He goes, oh, I just used the down payment for my house. I'm like, what? Like, oh my God. I go, I might be paying you back for the next 10 years, whatever. And it was amazing the people that actually like donated and came to my aid through that whole thing. And it was a lot of musicians. There were so many people, Tom Morello, Henry Rollins, like Miles Kennedy and Johnny Resnick and Perry Farrell. And I mean, the list of people was unbelievable. Danger Mouse. I mean, it was just like the list of people.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Sure, that was very touching to see. Yeah, just to see.
Oh, man, it brought, I mean, when I saw that, like, because I kind of like, I isolated, I didn't want to pay attention to that. I knew the article had come out in Rolling Stone, but I didn't want to pay attention to it while I was in treatment, And when I finally saw the list of the people that had donated and their messages, man, I was so choked up by it because it's
If you think about it, like a lot of people owe a part of their career to you. I mean, giving them exposure and stuff like that.
Well, I think, it's cool you said that to me. I really appreciate it. It was a beautiful thing that, that was in some of the messages, that some of the people said that, hey, you'd really helped us out in the beginning. And that meant the world to me, because I've always done that like you guys do, talking about music you love. Out of the love for it, never expecting anything in return. I mean, the best thing in the world was somebody coming up to me and saying, man, you turned me on to that band. I love that band. They're one of my favorite bands ever. Had I not seen them on your show that night, I would have not, or heard them on the radio show, I would have not gone out and got that CD or that record or gone to see this band live. And, it becomes a part of your lifestyle. So, that's one of the most rewarding things about it is that, I love turning people on to music, and I still get excited about it. I'm always going through just reading or going through playlists, on different platforms and just checking out new stuff. And then people will still send me things, and I definitely try to listen as much, almost everything I can, at least give it a shot.
Do you have a time cutoff? Like how long will you listen to a song?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I will listen to a song sometimes all the way through. If it's really pushing the limits, maybe 2 minutes, I try to at least give it a chance to get to develop, and get to a certain space. I think, you can tell from a vibe sometimes. I mean, the thing is not crazy is I've been able to tell from people's demos before sometimes that they've been good and then actually signed them when I was at Columbia Records, and then all of a sudden it becomes something completely different when it's recorded correctly. But you also, if something's really awful and you guys can only imagine,
I mean, I got, Yeah, well, I get constant music video requests. So it's almost like sometimes I feel like within 10 seconds, even before I hear the vocal, I'll know exactly what it is and that I don't like it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. So. Sometimes you'll hear it and you'll go, oh, it's not that sound again, you know, because and you try, you know what I mean? You want to give things the benefit of the doubt. Always,
right.
But the funniest thing ever was there was this crazy situation when I was still in the TV show Farm Club, you know, and I had an office in the Universal building. We were a record label, a TV show, and a website. It was like
I was just going to mention this because I was we were talking about how you're always ahead of the game. This was like one of the first social networks. This predates MySpace. This predates MP3.com. People could go on this website and upload their music and possibly be featured on the USA Network. The show was on right after Monday Night Raw at the peak of wrestling's popularity. I remember watching the show and loving it was like basically like a rock and hip hop TRL, like a more adult TRL, you know?
It was. Yeah. It definitely, it's funny you said that. It's great. Cause we had that hour after Raw and War, and that, like you said, was when the peak of the ratings for wrestling at that time. It was incredible. And so like the thing was Jimmy Iovine and Doug Morris, who had, you know, put that together with Andy Schoen, who was my old boss at MTV, who actually, when he left and then was a GM at Warner Brothers Records, you know, I heard about this thing and I called him and said, look, I'd love to do this show. I'd love to, you know, and so I went and interviewed with him and Jimmy and ended up doing it, but it was way ahead of its time, like you said. And it was, they bought the hour right after Raw and War on a Monday night at 11 o'clock, but they still had a 15 share, like lead it. Like, in other words, it was this crazy rating, which made it like the number three highest rated cable show of the week while it lasted. You know what I mean? So it was, and it was selling a lot of CDs. And I remember that they put a picture of me and Dr. Dre on stage on the cover of the business section of the New York Times because of how many CDs it was selling. And you might remember that Korn caused some controversy because they decided, I called them up and they debuted their Make Me Bad video on our show instead of MTV, which was like a big, like, you know, like slap in the face to MTV at that point.
Right. I was there I remember like Dre, you had like these crazy performances too. It's such a wild, wild thing. How did, like, so, I didn't realize it was a paid spot. Essentially, it was an infomercial, basically, that the label bought.
Well, here's the thing. That it was a really produced show, but it was the reason they bought that is they wanted to control it completely. Hmm. And the thing with that is that when Raw and War were like, they lost, USA lost the contract, and it went over to TNN, which became Spike or whatever.
I see.
We were screwed. So it was like, you know, buying it and having a contract for that long, and all of a sudden you no longer have that lead in. You have like a really bad rerun of an old movie from like 1973. Not a good one either. Not like a Coppola or Scorsese.
You didn't even get the Walker, Texas Ranger?
Can you imagine? Absolutely.
Rose on TNN and they have Hee Haw leading it.
Yeah, I believe it. You know, it's really funny. I laugh because, speaking of the Chuck Norris thing, how about Chuck's theme song for Walker, Texas Ranger? It's like he's singing, and it's like overdubbed like 60 times. I'm the Ranger. It's got like, you know, all, sounds like auto-tune before auto-tune.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? It's so funny. But, the show was really fun, and that show was really cool and way ahead of its time. And, that was one way that people were able to like send. It was way, like, again, it's really funny too, because the woman now who produces The Voice and I sat in a hotel room and we said, I remember going, like, what are some of the other cool things we could do? And we were both like, why don't we go on the road and people where they are, like, and meet their families and show where they work. And that became the template for every competition or reality show after that. Farm Club was ahead. I mean, it was unbelievable. We came up with that in the hotel room, and quite honestly, it was like funny. I was like, well, that's cool, because I get to travel to places I would never go, like Mitchell, South Dakota, you know what I mean? Like where the Corn Palace is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was really funny, but that was a good time as well. But,
so you mentioned the MTV boss left and started doing this. I want, you know, obviously you have a little, I'm sure you're asked this all the time, and the trope of like, oh, MTV doesn't play videos, but like, like, what happened behind the scenes? It was obviously a conscious choice to move to more like reality content, like you said. Even like, does a Martin rerun make them more money than having to license an hour of music videos?
Maybe.
Like, when was the shift?
I mean, I think it was something that was happening. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm never one to talk shit about MTV, because I'm really grateful for the fact that I had a platform for quite a few years where I got to actually really be myself. Like, they didn't want to change me. They weren't like, hey, don't be too excited about this band. Don't go too in detail. They let me be myself, which is a pretty incredible thing to get to do for a job, especially if you're a music head like I was, you know? And I found that, you know, I mean, I'm grateful for all the time. And it was also awesome because I was also in the music department. So I was a manager of music programming, which meant that I was able to help pick videos for the Buzz Clips and program Headbangers and 120 and All Nation and Yo MTV Raps. I was involved in those decisions of, you know, because I came from programming radio on the Jersey Shore, and I, you know, done that for a while. And it was a great experience. But, you know, it's funny, even before I got there, and this is a really funny story, they did the first season of Real World, which, by the way, I'm in for like 30 seconds, which,
I remember.
Before I ever worked there. Remember that story, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that was because Andre from the band Rain Dance was a guy who used to come out and hear me spin at this cool rock club in New Jersey called The Melody, right? And I mean, people would show up there from like, you know, like you name it, from like Trent Reznor to the Skid Row guys before they got Sebastian Bach while they're there with Bon Jovi's coaching them. Everybody in the world would come to that bar when I was spinning. Even Radiohead got in a van and came from New York City, and because someone told them in England, they said, fuck going out in New York City on a Sunday night, drive down to this club. And, you know, but so, which was so cool. So I took them out for their first diner experience, the Jersey diner experience. And they still talk about it, which is pretty funny. But, you know, looking back on that whole thing with MTV, I'll tell you what it was like. So I, you know, obviously had, you know, was always watching it from the time I was really young, because I was, you know, wanted to see music videos. I wanted to see rock videos. I wanted to see alternative videos. I just wanted to see new music. You know, I mean, music to me was exciting, and I was always, you know, and I was kind of straddled that hard rock and metal and alternative side too, because when alternative still had guitars in it, you know what I mean? Because I like guitars. Right.
Yeah,
not to say
like
I don't
heavy.
Like this, but you know, oh my God, yeah, I like things that are powerful, you know.
Hard.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So exactly. I like hard music. So you know, I got asked by Andre. He calls me up because I'm running this radio station on the Jersey Shore, and it's like it's this pretty small station, but it's, you know, popular there in the Asbury Park area, and he goes, hey Matt, you know, we're doing I'm part of this new TV show called The Real World. And it's like a thing where we just, like, we all live in this house. He goes, you think I could bring the band down and do a quick interview so we could, like, kind of show what we do? And I'm like, sure. And, like, so I was there spinning at the club the night before. I'm running the station, but I had a dirty shirt on with a big stain on it. Like, I had to shave. I, like, probably was partying too much the night before, so I didn't really remember they were even coming. So he's there with a film crew. And for years, guys, they used to torture me in the hallways at MTV. Go, look at that with his same shirt. You know, like when I finally went to work there. But, you know, the whole thing, I don't know if you know this story, but Real World was an accident. Reality TV was an accident. And I'm one of those people who's not a big reality TV fan, but because I love music, you know. But, I mean, look, I mean, you know, I'm sure it's helped some people out. But, I like acted dramas. I like, you know what I mean? I like
Meredith.
Comedies, you know, I like things that were, you know. And I think that there's a lot of, you know, it is what it is. But you know that it was not supposed to be The Real World. They were going to do a soap opera. And when MTV found out that they were going to have to pay SAG and AFTRA, they decided, oh, we're not going to do that. Well, what do we do? So Bernard Murray had rented the house already. And they're like, I don't know. We got all this production. Why don't we put an ad in Backstage, which is like, you know, like an actor's magazine or musicians. Wow. And then that's how that whole thing happened. It was a complete accident. And then that spurned the whole reality TV thing, for better or for worse. You know?
Wow.
But here's the thing a lot of people don't know, is Andre's band, Rain Dance, who were in that first season, that guy Dean from Queens of the Stone Age was in that band. You know, Dean from Queens of the Stone Age, Dead Weather. was in that band. He was also in that band,
wow,
which is crazy. So, yeah. But I'm
well,
so pleased with Andre, you know?
With the show you mentioned, the 120 Minutes, Sid actually attended a taping of 100.
Yes. I want to bear with me here while I tell you this story. This was 24 years ago, so I do not expect you to remember this, but it's a moment that I still think about quite often. So me and my friend, college freshman, we needed to attend a TV taping for credit for our mass media class. And we were thinking, like, you know, we could go like Maury Povich or Conan or whatever. And I was like, well, you know, 120 Minutes, we both like that show. And they give their AOL email address at the end of every episode. Let me shoot them an email. They don't have an audience or anything, but what can it hurt to send an email? Some PA will read it and either say yes or no. And I send the email, and like a couple hours later, you replied. It wasn't a PA.
Yeah.
You were handling the goddamn show's email. You did everything for that show.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, sure. Come on down. When do you want to come? And we were like, could we come in 2 weeks? And I was still sort of skeptical that it was really you because it just seemed so far-fetched that, like, it would be that easy to reach Matt Pinfield from fucking 120 Minutes. But we went.
But it was.
And we went. We got there a little early, so we went to the diner that was outside the MTV studio at that point, and you were just checking out. So we're like, oh, hey, Matt, we're the guys that emailed you. And you're like, oh, cool. I'll walk you guys in. Let's go. And you had us, before the show started, you had us wait in the green room where the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones were also hanging out. You're like, yeah, just go hang out with the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. You like them, right? And we're like, yeah. And it was like fucking mind-blowing. We just sat for like half an hour talking with Dickie Barrett. And
yeah,
then
cool.
You had us into the studio. We watched you interview Dickie. It was fucking incredible. So I just wanted to thank you. That's like still one of my coolest like music moments of my life. And I want to thank you for making
awesome.
It happen. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's my pleasure. You know, I mean, that's the way to be. I mean, you know, it's really funny. I always I love doing that. You know, when people were really big fans of the show, you know, I would actually say, if you want to come down and watch a taping. In fact, one time, you know, speaking of like how you kind of give back to the people you work for, that club I told you about, the Melody, I remember one week they were going, hey, Matt, the studio's going dark for repairs. Do you know where you want to shoot the show outside of here? I'm like, I know where. And I felt like it was a nice way to repay the guys I had spun there for years at that club. And so they advertised it. It was a summer night. I remember me and my girlfriend went down there and we were like, and a couple of my other friends, and people were lined up literally, you know, for blocks. And it was about 130 degrees inside the club, but it was a fun night. And I got to, you know, interview locals and, you know, just people that had worked there. And it was kind of my way of giving back. And I also did the same thing for the radio station when we were doing our summer house in Seaside Heights in the 90s. I went back to the radio station on the Jersey Shore and shot shows in there. And, you know, it was just kind of my way of trying to give back to people that had, you know, taken a chance on me. So it was very cool.
How it all kind of came back around where you told a story that you were so touched by people, you know, just sharing their kindness with you, but you've been sharing your kindness with the world and giving back this whole time. So it just comes right back.
No, thank you. I think it's really important to treat people
yeah.
well, you know? I mean, it's amazing. You know, I look back and then, you know, and even people I worked with, one, you know, when I was at Columbia Records, like, you know, my assistant was Allison Hagendorf, who is the global head of rock for Spotify. Now, Allison's like my sister, you know, and I hired her there and she was funny. She was the great story. She tells everybody as well. She loves to tell the story. She goes, I wanted to be the female Matt. I was the number one college rep. So Sony like had a competition for the college reps. I mean, they all just did it anyway. But if you had the most success as a college rep and she was at Penn State, then you had an opportunity to get a job in the company, which was a pretty cool thing to do. And so, I mean, she could have been pre-med or pre-vet. I mean, that's how smart she is. And she wanted to work there. So she got there and they had her doing something and she kept going into HR and going, can I interview with Pinfield? And so eventually she wore him down. These are her words. These are great. And she came and I said, of course. She was just had so much energy and she just loved music so much. And then so all these different people that worked in different, like in that department with me, like my friend Rene Mata, he manages a bunch of producers and songwriters now. My friend Andrew Keller, you know, he went on to be like a big VP of A&R Capital, now manages a bunch of artists. Andrew McGinnis manages Diplo's empire. So these guys were all my team, you know, and my whole thing was that I always believed that you pass that on, you know, like I would see other like people that were senior directors and vice presidents, and they would close their doors on their assistants. And I always thought that it was so rude and just not cool. You should include everybody, you know what I mean? And, you know, help people get a leg up. Plus, you learn a lot from them. I mean, you learn a lot by working with others. Excuse me. So it's been an incredible ride that way, you know, but
that's
I just
great advice,
say that,
I think in any yeah, field, not just in music.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's cool. You know, it's because, you know, you help the next superstars of tomorrow, you know, in whatever field that is, you know what I mean? And I think it's so important to do so. And, you know, one of the, you know, beautiful things is Allison has always talked about that, even on her, you know, podcast or show on Spotify Rock This, the very first episode, she talks about that I was her mentor, and, you know, and I appreciate that, you know, and I don't ask for that back, you know, like, I'm just happy enough to do something for other people. That's good enough for me, but she's one of my best friends anyway, because she's my sister, and I'm like the brother she never had. She's all sisters, so it's kind of like it all worked out, you know what I mean? I'm like the uncle to her son. So, but yeah, guys, it's, you know, it's, I feel very blessed, and, you know, that's why this podcast is just so much fun, you know, and I thought the reason, and I got to tell you guys why I was so excited to do it was, it was something people wouldn't necessarily expect from me either, you know, where I'd be playing the straight man in a podcast. And you'll hear me once in a while fighting with the artists, which is pretty funny. I think you guys will appreciate that, where I'm arguing or I'm just like in disbelief with their ridiculousness. But, there are some of these episodes, guys, are just, they're so funny and they're so insane.
Sounds like
we could. Yeah, we could probably talk to you for another hour about it, but I don't want to take up any more of your time. Thank you so much, Matt. It's really just truly been a pleasure. And, you know, there would be no Metal Injection without your work. And MTV in that era, the late 90s, early aughts, like had a huge influence on all of us here. And a lot of people that are currently working in the music business, I'm sure, but especially like me, especially, I was just, it was like the only channel I watched. So thank you for that. And I'm really looking forward to Miss Riffs kicks off this Friday, first three episodes on Spotify.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much for having me. It was really nice talking to you all, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. It'd be, you know, if you, maybe we could have you back.
Ours.
Yeah, the pleasure was all ours.
Yeah, it was fun.
You know, in a few weeks, we could have you back to rate some underground bands. We do the second.
I'd love to do that. You know, it's funny. I just came from Howie Weinberg's house, you know, who's like the guy who mastered every, like, a million records, you know, right? Because he did, like, Nevermind, but he did Master of Puppets, too. So I was, like, looking at his Platinum Master of Puppets. I'm like, Howie, do you have an extra one of those? No, but anyway, I'm just like, no, but there's a lot of stuff. I would love to come rate some bands with you and hang out with you guys. It'd be cool.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Matt.
And keep me in mind, and thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you so much for taking the time, Matt. We really appreciate it. This has been amazing.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, guys. Take care now. Thank you.
All right. That was Matt Pinfield.
Yeah.
Yes. The nicest man in the music industry.
The man with the most stories.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We barely had to do any work. Yeah. This is basically the Matt Pinfield live cast.
Yeah, he's a pro.
He really is. He really is. So let's take it down a notch. Let's get a little bit more unprofessional here.
Yeah, I was pretending that for 50 minutes or whatever.
No, that was great. I want to mention it again. Mistress, that's the podcast. It comes out this Friday on Spotify and then a few days later on all other podcasting platforms. And if you just need a little extra, you need even more, maybe even more Metal Injection live cast, you can always check out our bonus episodes on our Patreon. patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. $5 a month gets you access to the archived version of the podcast, of the video version of the podcast, and bonus episodes, about two a month. At the top of the month, we did a Hall of Fame episode where we look back at some of the most talented women we've had on the show, and including Queen of Vagina. And we have a lot of great watch-alongs. We watched Danzig's movie, Veronica. We've watched, what are some other ones we've watched? Cannibal Holocaust.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Motley Crue's The Dirt.
Yeah.
We watched the Lemmy documentary.
Yeah.
We watched last month.
Partners.
Partners. So lots of fun stuff. Patreon.com/Metal Injection livecast.
And Zoom hang this Sunday for the patrons.
Yes, that's right. And if you are a patron, you can come hang out with us on Zoom. What time are we doing that?
8 p.m. Eastern.
8 p.m. Eastern. So during the WWE pay-per-view, WrestleMania Backlash, which will probably not be that good, come and hang out with us on Zoom.
So people complain about WrestleMania and they just name a pay-per-view after the complaints? This is where we have all the backlash to WrestleMania.
Well, the pay-per-view used to just be called Just Backlash, and now they're just adding the WrestleMania branding to make it extra confusing. I don't know.
Is there like a Survivor Series backlash also?
They're workshopping a new pay-per-view. It's called WWE Complaint Box.
Or WWE Hate Mail.
Yeah.
WWE, can I speak to the manager?
The tagline is, it still sucks. We heard you and we're not fixing it.
Yeah, next month is WrestleMania Backlash.
Backlash is all the way down.
Yeah. And there's going to be a sunflower seed eating contest.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The big draw of this Patreon hangout is I was challenged, or Noah, did you create this challenge? Who challenged who?
It was manufactured. It's a manufactured.
It's a manufactured consent challenge for a sunflower seed eating contest, a seed off, a shell off, right? That's what you're calling it, Noah?
What do we call it? A shell off? I think Darren had like a more elaborate and funnier title, but I forgot it.
Well, I forgot it too.
I think it's just shell off.
Shell off, that, like a pun on shell off.
So you could, if you have sunflower seeds or acquire some before the hang, you could join the competition, or you could just be a spectator, whichever works.
I don't remember, like, I don't think we completely came up with the rules, but I think we should just pan the camera down and see who has the biggest pile at the end of it.
Well, how does that work, though? Like, how we have to count them out, though, right?
We just eyeball it.
Okay.
Is there a prize for this, or is it just pride? Because if it's just pride, then, yeah, we could just eyeball. We don't need to be precise.
Yeah, okay.
By the way,
you don't have to take it too seriously.
I know you're a newbie in this industry. I don't want to pick on you too much, but it's a tilt down. Left and right would be panning.
Thanks, Darren. Thank you for mansplaining it.
So I don't know if you guys heard the latest study in the world of science. Metal makes you fat.
That's science?
That's science.
I got two eyes. I don't need this newfangled journalism and then science to know that metal makes you fat. Fuck out of here.
So I guess in the Daily Star, which is a UK tabloid, there was a article that the headline reads, "Metal makes us all heavy."
I get it.
Loud rock link.
If only Rob can come up with such clickbait titles. Metal and
it doesn't. No, see,
profitable.
Puns don't really work as clickbait because the clickbait is there has to be a curiosity gap. You have to have a question or something where the person needs to know the answer to it and thus click, or just have a completely misleading title. Yeah. Which, by the way, I have to say, I've been stumbling on old articles that I wrote in, let's say, 2014, 2013. A lot of them about Dave Mustaine, and I'm gonna say it. They were clickbait. The headline completely exaggerated what was going on. It was definitely a little unfair to Dave Mustaine. So I will concede that. But anyway, so metal makes us all heavy. The study let me get the quote. The article stated that the music somebody listens to can dictate their food choices. Thus, fast and heavy music with distortion rev up a listener enough that they want to gorge on fatty foods. Right? Like, don't you just listen to grindcore and think, I need a bacon cheeseburger right now?
I guess I just think about, like, people attending concerts, and like, do you ever see anyone eating anything? Do you see someone having popcorn while moshing and watching a band?
Moshing and great. Moshing. No, I had a theory. I actually had a theory. You go to a show, right? You go to lots of shows. You hear lots of loud music. You get tinnitus, and it's like an ice cream truck, and it makes you want to eat ice cream.
It proposes that conversely, calm classical music would encourage a listener to make more sensible and nutritious choices.
About Pavarotti then?
Yeah, right.
Mm.
He actually loves old school thrash. You wouldn't guess it. Loves it.
Just the opera is just a job.
Yeah, yeah. That voice. He's got to cash it. It's like, you know, as a 7'2" NBA player who doesn't actually like basketball, but you're that tall, you might as well make a few million. He's the Brooke Lopez of opera.
Like basketball, is that?
Why is this study necessary?
Because people are really fat, and we have to call attention to it.
But also, was there an actual study done, or is this just somebody saying, like...
Like an opinion?
Yeah. It seems just like guesses based on, like, stereotypes of every genre. What's the actual research?
It doesn't seem
done?
Very scientific.
It doesn't ever drill down into, like, even if bullshit reason?
No, because here's the thing. Like, the article itself, it's a... I mean, this is a stretch, because, the screenshot of the article is so low res that you can't read past the subheads.
It's like a stereogram. It's that thing when you have to like cross your eyes and then you start to see a ship sailing on.
I'll load it up.
Researcher probably just saw a picture of Testament and came to some conclusions.
Just Chuck Billy, just, and it was like, oh.
So yeah.
I guess over time.
One of those guys is malnourished. He spends a lot of time in an alleyway.
Thank you, Noah.
You like that, Sid?
I'd love it.
you can't really see the text here. This is really.
So who is that in the picture?
That's the singer, Lordy? The frontman of Lordy. Yes.
Oh.
Oh, brother. So that's a photo of an actual article from like a hard newspaper, tangible newspaper?
Yes, an analog newspaper.
But did you scan that in? You ordered it online and you scanned it?
If I were to scan it, I would have scanned it in at 300 DPI, so you could read it.
It's from microfiche. Remember those?
It's a flip phone photo of a microfiche.
Before the show started, I was telling Sid how, like, in the 90s, in order to know that 120 minutes was on, you had to be able to get a TV guide. You had to, like, go out and buy a TV guide with, like, the schedule. And if you otherwise it was just, like, Russian roulette.
Well, the cable had a channel guide, but it wasn't like today where it's interactive. It was just a vertical scroll.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to, like, wait.
Sit there for 45 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
If only Gen Z knew our pains, our growing pains.
They don't fucking get it, these kids.
Microfiche in the library with the stinky old people in the basement.
They know about stinky old people in basements. That's still a thing.
Right.
Especially during the pandemic. You just leave them there because there's not room at the morgue.
Oh.
Leave them in the basement. Yeah. You get used to the smell after a while and you just leave them there.
I did use microfiche in high school, in fact. But to be fair, it was specifically for like a journalism class where they were like, we want you to have a reason to use microfiche.
Go figure that shit out, dumbass.
Yeah.
Well, that was a regular thing when I was in like junior high and high school. Like, microfiche was still in wide usage. Like when you went, it was probably like, you know, you should probably still know this even though you don't really need it, you know. When I went, like, you had to use microfiche on certain things.
Why don't you explain what it is for
it's
our younger...
Like a type of media storage, but very analog, as opposed to having it on a disc or whatever. It's like these little strips of film. And you would go to the library, and if you wanted an old newspaper clipping, there was no hard drives or anything. They just gave you this strip of film, and it had like, you know, 400 different newspapers on each little strip of film, and they were tiny, and you put it in a machine and it would zoom in on it and you could see what headline you wanted or what story. But it was the whole mm-hmm. newspaper contained on this little thing.
If you see any movie that's about like a 1970s or 80s murder investigation,
yeah.
odds are a detective at some point or a reporter will be going through microfiche. You've seen it even if you don't think you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the standard scene of somebody like looking through old newspaper articles to find a connection in the case. And then somebody's picture comes up and they're like, oh, there it is.
No.
We can hear you, Darren, for some reason.
There we go.
Oh, there you are again.
Yeah, you would see the pages of the newspaper flash
yeah.
by left to right, you know. And then
yeah.
Oh, yes.
And all of a sudden, there's Ted Bundy.
yeah.
I also remember they would send us to the library to learn the Dewey Decimal System. Remember
that's
that?
Thing. That's still a
it is?
Thing. Yeah, you have to use that for research papers and stuff. Like, because the college library is still organized by Dewey Decimal System, even though it's online. So there's a number, you know, and it's categorized by that number.
Hmm.
Or just avoid the library.
Library injection.
Bibliotheca injection.
Yeah, that's good. Good pronunciation.
Bibliotheca injection. I don't know why it's
French
in
there.
But I guess it's just because I'm very sad. Because I heard some very sad news that could only be described in two words. Bye, guys.
wait, Rebecca Moore died?
No. The cock destroyers have parted ways. That's the story.
How are we reviving this?
finally
over.
Metal Injection Livecast icon, Rebecca Moore. Has split with her friend, whose name I guess
other
is
lady.
Sophie Anderson,
yeah,
the other one, the Marty Jannetty of the group.
through a plate glass window like Shawn Michaels.
And so fans noticed something was afoot yesterday when Moore vaguely posted about blocking and deleting a friend after discussing. So
it
Rebecca Moore writes.
This email. It had a lot of goo on it. It was this email.
Just read a vicious email from just read a viscous email from someone who thought I was a friend, who I thought was a friend. Showed it to my mom as I was questioning the things that have been said about me. Genuinely sick to my stomach.
That was a quote of her mother. Genuinely sick to my stomach because she saw her daughter's face.
Yeah, I wonder what. Rebecca Moore's mom looks like. Do you think she's like
wonder.
The older version that also
probably
exactly like
surgery?
That.
Yeah.
Exactly like that.
Minus she looks like Rebecca Moore, but like more of like a Russian babushka, you know, like the sunken
God.
Face. That's
two
my
horrible things, Rob. That's
wow.
When you say, I want to say, if you're thinking about searching for Rebecca Moore mom, don't. Something completely different comes up.
Yeah,
where
you might,
she's the mom.
You're going to see Rebecca Moore, and you're not going to enjoy that.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I meant. If you do it, make sure your loved ones aren't around. That's what you enjoy doing with your loved ones, if you don't want
to. In addition to Rob's pointer, I want to add one of my own. If you're thinking of searching Rebecca Moore anything, don't do it. You'll be disappointed.
Well, the only Rebecca Moore thing you should search for is the cameo that she recorded, for Jawinski, because that is now officially the most viewed video on our YouTube page.
Second.
So bless
her. It's the sound of silence.
The sound of silence is on the, I'm looking right now. Oh, it might be on the Metal Injection page, yeah. But on our page, the top.
It's not a competition. We're all winners here. Come on.
So I need some clarity about, like, what fizzled in their friendship.
It sounds – well, Rebecca Moore said that somebody sent her texts where Sophie was saying not nice things about her.
Oh, so she was seeing her texts to other people. mm-hmm. where she was saying mean things about
Are
her.
We sure it wasn't that Sophie sent her an email with transcripts of what Darren said about Rebecca on this show? And she just misunderstood? She killed the messenger?
That you could be possible.
More bad things about her than I do. I feel like I just try to turn off and wait till the segment. You're the one that actually does the dunks.
So he gets a few opportunities.
Yeah. So Sophie responded, and she goes, "Hi, my wonderful guys, girlies, and non-binary friends. You know, I'm not going to do it. You know, I believe in only welcoming positivity into my life, so I wanted to address this. Rebecca and I are parting ways. It's like they're having a divorce. We're
That's
consciously
pretty ridiculous
uncoupling.
Because clearly Rebecca is positive of a few things.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Oh, come on. I feel this is the best choice for everyone's health and happiness. I realize you can't love people fully without loving yourself.
That's a rip-off of the RuPaul quote. If you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
I'm so proud of all the work the Cock Destroyers did.
Celino and
Rob. Oh, no. Why did I just say that out loud?
Pronounce it the right way, Rob.
Cock Destroyers. I promise you that I have a big project in the works, Slags. This isn't the end, just to start on a new journey, and what could be more exciting than that?
A cure for syphilis?
Anything.
But you only care about Rebecca Moore, right? You don't care about Sophie.
Yeah, so this was posted in our Discord chat, which I want to mention. We have a Discord server, which you can join and chat with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can get the link on our podcast page. Just go to metalinjection.net/livecast, and on any episode page, you'll see a link to the Discord. So when people were mentioning this in our Discord, our live cast stars were very sad, and they were, you know, saying like, oh, Rob must be so upset around this. He's upset. No, I was never a Cock Destroyers fan. I was a Rebecca Moore fan.
Can I ask a question? What's the difference? They're both like the same person.
No, they're not both the same person. One of them is Rebecca Moore, of whom I was a fan.
I mean,
a fan. And the other is someone whose name I didn't know until about 3 seconds ago when I read the article that was like, oh, Sophie Anderson, that's her name.
But they're both saying the same, like, cliche.
No.
Porn.
But you could tell Rebecca really meant it.
Yeah, no,
she's
Rebecca,
the one with the funny lines.
What this
Rebecca
is like is like when a parent says to their kid, oh, all those bands you like, they all sound exactly the
same.
And the kid's like, no, there's clear differences. You don't understand.
But she Rebecca right Moore in that scenario.
Rebecca Moore had all the funny lines, and Sophie Anderson was the one that went, ah.
Right. You know? Sound
sure they both go, ah. just the inspirational stuff is funny, you know, the positivity of my life. And like,
yeah.
I noticed that all the toughest points in my life, there were two sets of collagen lip prints in the sand. There was only one set of collagen lip prints in the sand. That was where I carried you.
Live, laugh, inject, love.
They get love injected to them on film.
What's interesting is I just looked. Sophie Anderson has more Twitter followers than Rebecca Moore.
Wow. You need to change that.
Maybe you backed the wrong horse, Rob. You backed the wrong horse, face.
Rob likes the scapegoat.
Oh, we need to change it by...
I like the underdog.
We need
underdog,
to change
that's
it
what
by
I meant.
Removing
Sorry.
Their Twitter account, just like Trump, the way Trump had his Twitter account. If they both go down to zero, then I'll be happy.
You want to disappear Rebecca Moore, Darren?
No,
is that what
just
you're saying?
From Twitter.
You want to deplatform her off
fucking
Twitter?
Fucking cancel culture.
Plenty happy for her to still have a social security number or whatever they have in the UK.
What do they have over there?
Fish and chips.
Barcode.
Fish and chips was the alternate title for the Cock Destroyers.
Fish and fish. No chips.
Fish and onions.
Probably accurate. Fish and liver.
Mm.
Well, keeping the theme alive of vintage Metal Injection live cast stars and women specifically, like I mentioned in our live cast Hall of Fame episode now on our Patreon, we spotlight some of the women of the past of the live cast, including Queen of Vagina and Perp Walk. And one woman that left a huge impression on all of us here at the Metal Injection Livecast, who we haven't checked in with in quite a while, is the great Jewish-American princess, Mindy Mayer. If you don't remember her...
A lot of our audience is now getting to see her for the first time. Because we have
now, yes. Yeah, so it's actually been a really long time. 2012 was when this happened.
We did talk about her since 2012, because she had a TV show.
Yes. So the way she got on our radar was she was running for Senate, and her motivation or her influence was Legally Blonde. So her whole website was pink. She always wore pink, as you could see. And so Mindy Mayer came into our lives, and just as quick as she came in, she left our lives. And we were always wondering, hey, whatever happened to that Mindy Mayer, right?
What happened to the Magenta Yenta?
That's exactly. That's her. That's her. One of her titles. And then I send Sid a video, and I'm like, and fans of the show know that we, all of us, all of us were raised Jewish, where I don't know if we would say fans. But we like to enjoy isn't even the word, but listen to or we find grating the Israeli or the Jewish classic Jewish accent, the Orthodox, you know, like we've talked like the apostle, you know, that kind of thing, and there are many different types of Jewish accent, and I sent to Sid, I was like, wow, this is like a new level of
we've
Jewish
talked
accent.
About Heshy Tischler on the show before, haven't we?
And so it's Heshy Tischler. I believe we talked about him last year because this guy was leading the anti-mask protests in the Orthodox neighborhood.
They went to the gate where it was closed. The park was closed for COVID, and they broke it open with pliers or something. Right?
Like it was a very liberating moment.
Yeah, and they had like mask burnings in Borough Park. The whole fucking thing.
You know, it just, I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but like you will listen to a 5,700-year-old book that tells you to wear a piece of cloth on your head, but you won't listen to an accredited scientist to put a piece of cloth on your face.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing with your life?
Just move the kippy a few inches over.
That should be the PSA. Move the kippy.
Put a second kippy.
Is Move the Kippy the episode title?
So Heshy Tischler.
On the left-hand side.
So apparently Heshy Tischler at one of these protests, there was a Jewish journalist who was covering it, who's been documenting the anti-mask protests, and the journalist alleged, and Heshy was found guilty of inciting people to attack this journalist.
Yeah.
And so now, after pleading guilty, Heshy released just saying his name.
What does this
so
have to funny. Do with Mindy Mayer?
I'm getting to it.
He
released a statement. I just wanted the context here.
Heshy
Tischler
definitely leads to Mindy.
Heshy Tischler released a video, and then Sid noticed a familiar face in the video. It's Mindy Mayer. Let's take a look.
To run for election because these girls got me off dog. No, I did not plead guilty. What I did was I made...
And Sid is like, is that Mindy Mayer? And we're like, oh, I don't know. But then let's keep listening.
And then after I do my 10 days of community service, which I do all the time, I unplead guilty. What do I want to call it?
It's a replater, and it's going to be a complete dismissal
and a stealing. And a stealing of it. And then in a month, I'm going to go to her baby's bridge, Mindy, my other lawyer who say...
Mindy! It's Mindy! It's Mindy, his other lawyer, the girl.
It's the girl lawyer team. I can't go.
And we're going to win the election, right, Mindy?
We're going to win the election.
And
that's her voice! You can't,
look at this one. It's like there's no there's no doubt about it.
And so
he looks like the Jewish Alfred E. Newman. Look at
this. I see it.
I see it. Future city council member.
Oh, come on.
Let's see. Does she talk anymore?
We're
going
to win the election.
And I want all of you people to know I'm not going to make fun of
you. I'm
going to
be my attorney when I win.
I'm not
going to
make fun of
you. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the old Metal Injection skits we used to do.
We did a lot of Jewish content. You're right.
It just seems like a parody of something.
When we went to the shul at the time, we stood in front of the giant Hebrew wall hanging.
And so I Googled, I Googled Heshy Tischler, Mindy Mayer, and the Magenta Yenta is back. And she's Heshy Tischler's defense lawyer.
Clearly her career is in an iceberg.
But hey, she's getting, her baby's having a bris. That means she found a man. She found somebody to put a baby in her.
And she has a career.
Yeah.
Got to respect that.
Yeah.
Has she got to perform the bris?
Well, now I wonder how much is Hishi paying her, and if Hishi doesn't pay,
we're gonna get the tweezers and you know we burst them, burst them again.
Oh, is it gonna be oral bris? Is he gonna bite the?
That's
yes, possibly.
That's how he's paying her, free oral bris service.
Gonna get her a free oral breast sir.
for old time's sake, let's watch this classic ad.
New York State Senate candidate Mindy Meyer's website is the talk of the town.
Who's Mindy Meyer? Who's Mindy Meyer? It's Mindy Mayer.
It's Mayer. I thought
red, white, and bedazzled.
Sorry, what was that, Darren?
I thought it was Mayer. I guess I was mistaken. It's all.
It's spelled Meyer, but I feel like we've seen clips of her say Mayer.
She does say Mayer.
So she doesn't even know how to pronounce her name.
Tomato, tomato.
The talk of
I
the town.
To be mayor.
Red, white, and blue.
Freudian.
Bedazzled, says Pix 11 News. Brings a sparkle to politics, says Soledad O'Brien. LMFAO themed, says the Huffington.
How is this? Isn't even praise. You know?
Yeah, that last one is just the state. Like, that's not good. Yeah.
The website loads when I put in the URL, says Washington Post.
There is music playing as I watch this. LMFAO ripped off to make this commercial, says BuzzFeed.
Uh-oh, wait, now talk about a scary black man.
When asked about his website, incumbent Parker says he's not concerned with it. Lack of pizzazz. If that's the case, what is he concerned about?
Why is he black?
Yeah.
Wait, I just realized this is Friends of Mindy.
Yeah.
So this might be a parody.
Friends
this
of
might not be.
Z.
Yeah, but let's do this real one.
Hi,
my name is Mindy Meyer, and I'm running for New York State Senate in the 21st District of Brooklyn. How about you come take a drive with me?
Oh,
we got to go back.
Pirouette. She just did a pirouette that was the most like forced pirouette in history.
I know it's makeup, but she looks ill.
She
makes herself up to look like she has jaundice. Why does she do this? She looks unwell.
Mindy, come on our show and tell us.
Soon she's going to have to be our lawyer.
And I'm running for New York State Senate in the 21st District of Brooklyn. How about you come take a drive with me?
She's got a plan.
I'm going to go up to the Senate, and I'm going to represent what
it's
you want.
It's Walt Frazier.
She's taking action.
All I need to do is just go to my district and get their votes.
She's our voice.
You know what? I'm sorry, but
this is absolutely a parody. I can't believe someone took the time to do this.
So that's not Mindy?
This is Mindy, but they're using clips from like an interview with Forward. Like you see this watermark? This is Forward it's like a Jewish newspaper.
Okay.
They're taking B-roll footage from this video.
I don't know, man. I could see her thinking that this was a positive ad.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think this is them compiling her like greatest hits.
To represent what you want.
She's taking action.
All I need to do is just go to my district and get their votes.
She's our voice.
You know what? I'm sorry, but the Senate doesn't have to be a senior citizen's home.
She asks the hard-hitting questions.
So by putting me up there, do you have anything to lose? Nothing. Do I have your vote, sir? I have your vote. What are you, a Democrat or Republican?
Mindy Meyer.
What are you, a Democrat or Republican?
Isn't it crazy that, so this is 4 years before Trump won the election, where he said to black people the same thing, what do you have to lose by voting for me? Do you think he got that line from her?
Yes.
4 years in advance she said that to a black person. Unbelievable.
Senate. She's senator and she knows it.
Paid for by friends of Mindy.
But only
friends with a Z.
Yeah. Incredible. Yeah, I think this is like pro Mindy. I think they thought this was right.
Four subscribers though. That's what makes me think
is it
not
us four?
Legit.
If it was legit, how many more would it have for Mindy Mayer's defunct state senate campaign?
Yeah, see, this is the full video here, driving the Devo from forward.
Eight years ago?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. What's this?
You know who Kevin Parker is?
Yes, I do.
Do you like him?
Not really.
Good, listen to me. Listen to me right now, sir.
Listen to me!
She only knows she has one mode of talking to black people. She's screaming at them.
You'd think he was like walking away from her as she was saying that, and she was trying to get him back, but yeah. He's just like standing there.
Yeah.
It's like she was waiting for him to dismiss her, and it didn't happen. She
he's
didn't
listening,
know how to react.
He's listening intently.
Yeah. You listen to me. Listen to me right now. I will call 911.
Meyer, and I'm 22 years old. I'm running for the New York State Senate in District 21 against Democratic incumbent Kevin Parker. I'm not your typical senator. Do I look like your typical senator? No, exactly. I need you to see
that woman is like, are you going to order something, please? Yeah. I'm so not getting paid enough for this.
Stop wasting my time.
Yeah.
But I'm the diva that's going to do something for you. You know, Kim Kardashian's a diva, too. Does she do anything for you? No. Well, she doesn't. Am I right? I want to take
what are you gonna do?
And energy and bring it to the Senate. But my ultimate goal is to focus on the issues and what my constituents want.
What do they want?
Something that you want to be state change in this world. And I will tell you the truth because I'm an honest person. What you see is what you get. If I can't do it, I won't lie to you, lady.
Why is she yelling at all of her constituents?
I want Jewish rabbis to stop sucking baby penis. Oh, sorry. I can't do that one. Sorry.
I'm an advocate for you. I'm not selfish. No, I'm here. Tell me what you want. No.
I don't live in Brooklyn, so it doesn't matter.
I'll remember that. Write that down. Let's bring it to the Senate. I want to bring that to the Senate. Throughout this whole campaign, I want to make it all about my creativity and energy.
Every interaction is a fail. Each one's like, what do you want? I'm not from here. Like, sorry.
This is her fizzle reel.
She looks like Lady Gaga before she became huge, like in the olden days.
You're right. There's a big resemblance there.
And, you know, make it extremely exciting. And all I care about is you guys. So don't ask me what I care about. Next time I see you, you're going to tell me what you want, and that's what my platform is. You have nothing to lose because Kevin Parker, who's your senator right now, he didn't do anything for you.
Okay. Leave.
Please leave Vegas Diner immediately. If you're not going to buy anything or order anything.
If I could do one thing for you, tell me what it is. Can you order?
Yes.
I love the freeze frame that we have right now because she's whining at this people and there's literally a sign there that says whines. It's just perfect.
They're coming out of her mouth. The whines are coming out of her mouth.
Our genius and things and everything. So, but if we turn it around and channel their energies into the right things, did any of you ever watch White Collar? Did you ever watch White Collar? You know Neil, I love Neil from the White Collar. You know he was a criminal and then he turned into an FBI agent. Why don't we do that in our district? You know what? That's a good idea. We'll bring Neil from White Collar to this district and we will fight against things. And where are you leading? I didn't forget about you. What do you want to be changed in the world? One thing.
I don't want to get right now.
Okay, fine. I'll do it. Kevin Parker.
Why even use that?
Exactly.
He doesn't give a damn about you.
Cindy Meyer.
Yes.
You have to come around.
Excuse me, Eddie, we're friends. Tio, Eddie, we're friends. How dare you call me Miss? My name is Mindy, bro, not Miss Mindy. We're
bro.
Mindy Martin.
Oh, my God.
Bro. Wow.
We're friends, Eddie. Okay, regarding the stop and frisk policy.
She is, like, you know what I see here? I see a girl whose parents praised her no matter what she did.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know,
bitch,
one of these over...
Like, that's not the Jewish parenting I know. What kind of Jewish parents did she have that praised her? What?
Listen, you want to run for Senate? Go ahead. You don't want to take care of your parents. You want to go and you don't want to go into your father's business. Fine, you don't love us. All right, but do well in the Senate, I hope.
I feel that stop and frisk has saved many lives, and it is extremely fundamental. What I am against is racially motivated stop and frisk.
That's
who do you think they're stopping?
Exactly. Listen to why I agree with you. Listen to why I agree with you. Listen. If they have probable cause,
I don't like stop and frisk. I like stop and shout. I just stop black people on the street and shout at them.
Whether you're black, whether you're orange, do you hear?
We figured, yeah, whether you're orange like her or radioactive orange like Hulk Hogan. This is, figured out.
I'm a Republican.
You got it. This is her platform. She's telling us her platform. It's stop and shout.
Yeah.
That's all she's just doing. Yeah. I love how she goes like, shut up and listen to me agree with you.
And I'm not,
I wonder if she
with,
regrets,
you know,
doing
Obama,
that.
So I'm done.
I don't think she seems like an any publicity is good publicity kind of person.
I don't know if you're Democrats, Republicans, it's irrelevant. You're a Democrat or Republican? Democrat. Listen, I'm a Republican, but that's just a technicality. Party line that I'm running on, that's just a technicality. So
everyone she's talking to is a Democrat. Can't even vote for her in the primary? Is that what I'm understanding?
You'll be willing.
Well, no, but she's campaigning
me
against the Democrats, so I guess they're in the primary.
I see. So she has yet
probably
to
probably ran unopposed in the primary.
She has yet to offer one platform position.
She's like, you tell me what you want it to be. That is whatever you want.
My website,
right, let's,
out.
Yeah.
It was just to instigate that initial, you know, attention for my constituents, the young population in my district, to make them excited and involved and to make them think that politics is not all boring.
She could take a speech class, I feel, because you could see her gasping for air as she talks.
I'm gasping for air listening.
And I think it would help her, especially if she wants to be a public speaker.
Can you imagine that class? Just like,
shut up and listen to agree with you while you're a good instructor.
Well, maybe she would sound not like that if she learned how to breathe.
I don't need to breathe. I'm too busy stuttering.
Senate.com. All of a sudden, a pink screen goes up with the instrumental without the words of sexy, and I know it is instrumental, and in bling letters at first, I'm Senator.
This is an analog
know
website right now. This is her just describing her splash page.
Every time someone types the URL to that website, she has to jump into action and say this out loud to them. She goes,
now, there's music playing, and it's I'm sexy, and I know it, but it's the instrumental, and it says I'm Senator, and I know it.
Yes, we're going to have it up and running soon, but until then, I'm just going to long-windedly describe what happened.
Hi, this is Mindy Mayer. Thank you for visiting my website. What should be happening right now is there should be a pink, and then it plays the instrumental, and it's the instrumental. You know, I'm sexy and I know, but the instrumental, and then it says I'm better and I know it.
By the way, this is her platform. The thing, different things that are in her website, like the visuals. The design.
Style being an Orthodox Jewish woman with kind of your flamboyant nature.
They go hand in hand with each other. My
she
values
looks
and
like
my
a sassy raccoon. Eyeshadow. It's like there's so many bad choices in front of me right now.
There's also 22 in that video.
I don't know. 22
were you making it 22?
I didn't look like a raccoon.
All right. Best of luck to Mindy.
Yeah, she's got a kid now. We need to find out who the baby daddy is. Do you think it's Heshy? Do you think?
Yeah.
Little jailhouse romance going on?
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe it's Tio from the video.
She smuggled in some halva bars in her vagina to the prison so he could have some tasty snacks.
Oh, my God. I believe it. Okay.
Oh. But it seems like that's an ongoing story, so maybe there's more Mindy in the coming weeks.
Yes. Yeah, because I think, like this Heshy guy, he's not going anywhere.
No.
And she's his legal representation, so we'll see. We have a little hate mail as we wind down. Of course, if you love listening to the show, you love you listening to the show, and you listen to the archives, you can't listen live Tuesday nights. And you want to ask a question or have a comment or
something to add to something we've said on the show, hit us up, y'all. You could do so by emailing hatemail@metalinjection.net. We'll read it on the air. If you want to get creative, you could record a voice memo, send us that via email, and we'll play it. Or record a